And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Brothers, sisters in Christ, therefore, as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So, once again, we are confronted with the mystery of the Holy Trinity, that we worship one God in Trinity, in Trinity, in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. Whenever we're called to reflect on God's revelation of himself as one God, who is also three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the dangers are many. We can turn a sermon into a lecture about the Trinity, or we can try to explain the Trinity, which almost always risks saying something wrong. Or we can talk about what God does as the living and triune God and then miss out on the gospel. So what are we supposed to do? Simply what the church has always done. We confess the truth of the revelation of God as triune. We acknowledge the mystery. And we rejoice in what God gives us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, we've already confessed the truth in the words of the Athanasian Creed, and in terms of acknowledging the mystery, well, we understand what it means to say that there is but one God, right? There are no others, none. Nothing in creation is like God in majesty and power and completeness, in wisdom and grace. And we understand what a person is, even if we normally think of personhood in human terms. But in general, a person is an individual distinct from others with characteristics that can be known and related to. So, the Father begets or is the foundation of the Son's existence. The Son is begotten of the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds or goes forth from the Father and the Son to give light and the knowledge of God to all creation. And trying to capture the relationship of the three persons, Luther worked from St. John calling Jesus the Word and suggested that the Father speaks the Word. Jesus is the word that is spoken, and the Holy Spirit is the one who hears the word. But however the persons of the Holy Trinity relate to each other in the unity of the divine Godhead, what stops us in our tracks and silences our speculations is the mystery of how three are one, or one is three. For in the revelation of Scripture, it is manifest that the Father is whole and completely God. The Son is whole and completely God. The Holy Spirit is whole and completely God, yet there are not three gods. And we stop there, acknowledging the mystery in quiet awe and wonder. And then we can rejoice in what God gives us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, give him praise and thanks, and then live as people who are baptized in his holy name. So what does he give us? Well, not to put too fine a point on it, he created and sustains us and gives us our existence. None of us, none of you, in fact, no one anywhere is an accident. Before the foundation of the cosmos, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit conceived of you and everyone else and willed for you to come into existence and then arranged this world so that you were born exactly when and where it pleased him. Now let that sink in. All the generations that led to you were planned by him. As he exists of his own, he willed to share existence with you and sustains you so that you continue to be. Apart from the scripture saying so, who would dare to believe that the eternal, almighty, and holy one has you in his mind, in his heart, that he wanted and wants you here, now? Now, we also know that things took a disastrous turn at Eden, and even though we are God's creatures, we are also warped and twisted by sin, so that we do not live as those who reflect God's glory, share his character, or walk in his ways. Despite being created and sustained, left to ourselves, we pursue dissolution. We chase after things that aren't really substantial. We dwell in an emptiness that would make us into nothing. And God is not content for that to be. So he redeems us. He buys us back from emptiness and refashions his image in us. And he did that by taking our flesh and nature to himself in the Son, even Jesus born at Bethlehem. I know it's easy to get overwhelmed by the Athanasian Creed, but did you notice how it immediately turned to Jesus and his incarnation after nailing down the dynamics of the Trinity? There's a reason for that. For if the Son were not God of God, light of light, true God, then what he did in taking humanity to himself would not have restored us to our place with God or been redemptive. But because the fullness of God is in Jesus bodily, what he did and does is God's doing for us to bring us life and light. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit creates and sustains us. He redeems us. And you already know what's coming next. He sanctifies us, makes us holy. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, proceeds from the Father and the Son to enlighten us with his gifts, to bring us faith by the gospel, to give us new birth, and to reside with and in us. And we know that in the gift of holy baptism, in which the divine name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is impressed upon us. And as that name is placed on us, God's character as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is also given to us, so that in Christ we once again bear God's image and share his life. And his life is ultimately a life of love. Another way that the church has tried to get at the dynamic of the Trinity is via love. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father, and the Spirit goes forth to share their love with the whole of creation. If this has merit, then to be given to share God's life and character as the Trinity means that we are given to receive and share his love. And that is no small thing. Another observation from Luther is that God is an abyss of love, and that when we are called to confess and acknowledge the Holy Trinity, we are also given to know that the whole of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is turned toward us in love. And as that love is lavished upon us, we are given to be conduits of that love, so that it passes through us to those around us. And that is an audacious thing to claim, much less to live. You, my friends, created, redeemed, and sanctified by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, share his life and character. You bear his image, receive his love, and then are placed in this world to share that, to show that, to speak that to all whose lives you are given to touch. For God has come to you in Christ. He is made known to you in Jesus. The Spirit is poured out upon you. You have beheld his glory. You are baptized, forgiven, fed at this altar. So rejoice. The Lord is with you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to the very end of the age. Hallelujah. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.